or ownership of WGCH Radio. It's time now for that informative issues and answers show, Greenwich Matters, where your host, Sam Romeo, will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And of course, he'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's 661-5051. And now, here is your host, Sam Romeo.
Good evening, Greenwich, and welcome to another segment of the Greenwich Matter Show. As always, the phones are open for you. This is a show just for you, and 661-5051 is the telephone number to call in live. Also, if you want to get a good, strong service and you're not in the town, you can get us on the internet at WGCH.com and just click Listen Live. And we have listeners that, you know, have moved away from Greenwich or on vacation. They like to click in and they listen to the show, and sometimes they call in. Like our good friend Frank Trotta, who down there in South Carolina always gives us a shout-out, and my good friend Tom Keegan down in Florida. Tom was up here for the swearing-in of the new deputy police chief, Jim Bonney. So it was good to see TK, as we call him. And TK is a loyal listener, so big shout out to TK and my good friend Frank out there in the internet world. So with that, well, like I said, we have two open lines. A lot of stuff been happening in the last 72 hours since we got a new president, over 208, I believe. And I think there were some more executive orders signed today, anywhere from opening up ANWR and more drilling and pardons for the January 6th injustice done to just peaceful protesters. I believe the violent ones were agitators working with the FBI and the Biden administration, or I'd say Pelosi's administration. A lot going on, and all kinds of executive orders. And the biggest thing today, Bob,
yes, sir.
The president signs an executive order to release the files on JFK, RFK, and MLK on those assassinations.
Really?
So he signed that order today. And Radcliffe, who is the got confirmed today to take over the CIA, another Trump cabinet, I guess those files are probably in his hands. So we can expect to see those being released. And I know there's a lot of people, myself included, that really don't believe that it was the one person, Oswald, who assassinated the president. And maybe we'll find out what really happened on JFK. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Wow.
You know, I was always under the belief. Now, this goes back to, what, 1963, that Oswald was a double agent because of his history. He was in the Army. He was discharged honorably, married a Russian girl, and he was moved to Russia and became a Russian. He disavowed his citizenship. But he got repatriated back into the U.S. with his Russian wife. And I remember when the incident was happening. In fact, I was watching the whole thing live at the time. And even when they officer was shot in the movie theater. He was blamed for that also. But when he finally got him, and then they were bringing him he was in Dallas at a police station, and they were transferring him over, I believe, to another jail or a courthouse at the time, and Jack Ruby was led in the back door by another cop shot Oswald point blank. Now, there's a whole bunch of rumors around that and how Oswald or how Ruby got in there in the first place. Or not, they know how he got in, but why he would do that. So that I'll get into later. But back to Oswald, why I believe he was a patsy, because he said at the time that he was a patsy. I believe he's working with the CIA on this undercover. And they let him, he was a part of this group that was going to get even for the Bay of Pigs when that botched operation of overthrowing Castro. And I think they set him up to let him believe that he was, you know, part of that group, and he was going to be at a certain place at a certain time, and they pinned everything on him. He was feeding back, I believe, information to the CIA. But it's all going to come out. It's all going to come out. And we'll find out what really happened.
But it sounds like our CIA or our FBI were in cahoots with the mob that I think actually committed the crime, right?
I'm of that belief. Uh-huh. I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
All right.
And even now, Bob.
Yes.
A suspect of what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania with Trump. I mean, how inept, how could a 20-year-old kid have all of this access and easy access and come within 130 yards of the president with a rifle?
And climb up in a building in the view of people that were there to watch the event. I mean, even if it wasn't, you know, CIA or FBI people.
If
it were me, I'd be camped out up there in some sort of enclosure that was
camouflage.
Invisible. Yeah, and had gone up at night, you know.
Right. I mean, it's not passing the smell test with me.
No.
And the other thing, within seconds of those shots being fired, the sniper or the perpetrator was killed, shot to the head.
Mm.
How quick? Within seconds. Seems to me they might have had a beat on him all along.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to, that was the Operation Mendai, there to be take him out. Seems to me just everything seemed too convenient. And just thinking about it, everything that happened after the effect, the investigation, everything else, would have been the same as if he was shot. But he didn't. He survived it. You know, as far as the finger pointing, the investigation, the only difference is it was a failure.
That's the thing about it. It was too close to be trying to scare him. It was close enough to actually kill him.
Right.
And that's a pretty bold thing to be trying to do.
There's no doubt in my mind he was not supposed to become president.
Mm.
And then the only way that they could, and him not become president, was to take him out. And I think that was the plan all along. And then the other attempt, the second attempt on Trump at the golf course.
Oh, right.
And what is even stranger, you got a Secret Service agent emptied his gun and didn't hit him once. I mean, what the hell kind of a shot is he?
How far away was he, though?
It wasn't that far away.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I mean, my son-in-law and my daughter would have taken him out.
The first time I went skeet shooting, I was hitting the skeet. I mean, and that's somebody who doesn't handle a gun on a regular basis.
Right.
So
right.
You're right. What the heck?
And these guys have to be recertified every couple of years. So, anyway. Let's see, what do we got here? There's a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to be talking about tonight. And big shout out to our men in blue here, GPD, some great butts that they made. We had some burglaries when they break into a car, a burglary.
Mm.
And I had some down at Armstrong Court. Had some video surveillance film. We passed over to the community impact officer. They viewed it. The following night, they set up a patrol, and we believe that there were three individuals and two cars, and they believed that they broke the burglary ring, and they arrested one of the individuals, and he's in custody now up in Bridgeport. And last night, they did another bust right off Indian Field Road. So they've been catching these guys. Just to let you know, don't come to Greenwich if you think you're going to have an easy walk. This is not New York. We don't let you out on no bail, and we'll put you in jail. So just remember, folks, you got to lock your car. Don't leave valuables in the front seat or in clear view. Because even if your car is locked and you have your valuables out there, and if it's a pocketbook or a wallet or something, they'll break the window. It doesn't take very long to break that window and get grab it, smash and grab. So lock your car, keep your valuables out of sight. And
keep your wits about you, for goodness sake.
It's
kind of obvious. Don't leave stuff that looks interesting to a thief just sitting out there in on the seat of the car or something.
Right. So be diligent.
Yes.
So, Bobby, why don't we take our first break?
Very good.
661-5051. You're listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
Nobody knows like Finocchio knows. He knows our business.
For over 50 years, Finocchio Brothers Incorporated has served the commercial and residential construction industries with scheduled or on-call trash and debris removal. Finocchio can also supply you with any size or special dumpster. For prompt, reliable service with radio dispatch trucks, the ability to load at ground level, and always a competitive price, call Finocchio Brothers every time. In Connecticut, call 203-869-9099. Or in New York, call 914-939-5346. Finocchio Brothers, Liberty Place in Stamford. We knows our business. Call 203-869-9099 or 914-939-5346. Do not invite car thieves to our community. Do not leave your keys in your car. lock your car. Lock it or lose it. A message brought to you by Greenwich Matters.
Okay, we are back. 661-5051. If you want to get in a mix, that's the number here to give us a call. So,
I'm Jim Campbell, host of Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to touch that. I thought I was punching another button, and all of a sudden that went off.
Hello, Jim. How you doing?
He's coming on to talk about his book that, for goodness sake, that's been out for quite a while now.
Yeah, ooh. I know. Mm. I got a signed copy.
Oh, yeah, so did I. Come to think of it, yeah.
So, Bob, it looks like ICE is out there doing a job, just like he promised, Tom Homan. He's rounding up these illegals, rapists, murderers, drug dealers. They got one guy, I guess, today. As they were throwing him into the car, he's thanking Joe Biden for everything he's done for him and Obama. He said, and he was from Haiti, and because he was given sanctuary status, and he was cursing out Trump for sending him back to Haiti.
Well, I don't know. What are we supposed to do with these people? I mean,
send them back.
Yeah, but I mean, why is it they're trying to come through illegally to start with? It must be that they wouldn't be accepted legally or something like that.
They were let out of the prisons of the country of origin.
All right, so that, yeah, they would not be accepted legally. You're right.
No, we have a wide open border. The world knew about it.
Yeah.
So if you're a dictator or you're a head of any country and you got a jail full of criminals and you're responsible for taking care of them, you let them out and say, go to America, walk right in, sit right down, you know, make yourself at home, right? There you go, and you don't have to worry about it. And your crime rate is into America now, and you don't have to spend any money locking them up, guards. Mm-hmm. Your prisons are empty. So they opened up their jail cells, every one of these countries. And Trump said it. They're criminals.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up the jail cells and let them out, and they wreak havoc on the United States. I can't tell you how many American citizens have been murdered, raped, robbed, beaten. The havoc that they've raised on American citizens.
Yeah,
from what the Democrats did to us, not just Joe Biden. Because all the Democrats were all on board, whatever he was doing, covering up his dementia. For 4 years, they covered him. It's all coming out now, Bob. What is this complete scandal, what they did to the American public. So, anyway.
Yeah.
And then the final insult is all of those pardons going out the door. And the ones that the last 15 minutes, he pardons the January 6th committee there, Lynn Cheney and the whole group of liars that actually broke the law by destroying evidence that they had of the January 6th, all of the material, January 6th material that they were using in trying to put Trump in jail. They shredded it. They destroyed it all. That in itself is illegal. And Trump gave him all pardons.
You mean Biden?
Adam Schiff.
Biden gave him all pardons.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah, Biden. Yeah, I'm sorry. Adam Schiff, the biggest liar of them all. And it was funny. I was watching the TV today, and you had Adam Schiff, Schumer, and other Democrat leaders coming out and saying back in 2020 when they were all talking about Trump, they were ginning up saying, well, Trump's going to pardon his family. He's going to give this guy a pardon, that guy a pardon. And the only right reason you would give pardons if you're guilty, and it certainly would be unconscionable if Trump gave pardons out to his family members. Well, here they are playing side by side, same people who made all of those comments accepting pardons.
Like you have said many times, and I'm now hearing other people in the media say it as well, they are doing what they accuse you of doing.
There you go. Yeah. It's exactly right.
This is how they know.
That's their motive.
Because they're already, this is their plan. Yeah.
See, they're crooked, and they have dark hearts, and they believe themselves to be normal people.
Mm.
So they figure, well,
everybody else
if
like
I'm
them.
Doing
yeah.
if, right. if I'm doing it, yeah. they got to be doing it.
Yeah,
because you know I'm good, so I know they're doing it too. But this comes right out of the Rules for Radical playbook. Saul Alinsky, oh. accuse the other side of what you're doing, and just rally around them, pick a target, and just keep it going. Just accuse them, divert. You know, project onto them what you're doing.
Yes.
So when they accuse you of it, you say, see, they're doing it. But that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're famous for it. Now, when they come out and say, well, only a crook would take a pardon. And now here they are taking the pardon.
Actually, the pardons were given before the people had been accused of anything.
Yeah, I didn't think you could pre-pardon something that hadn't happened.
Yeah.
I thought a pardon only came when you were accused, arrested, and convicted. And then this, you're pardoned for the crime.
This pardon is just as good as the other pardons. I mean, it lasts forever, basically. For these
blanket
people.
Blanket pardon.
Yeah.
And he went back to 2014 with his pardon.
Hmm.
He wasn't president then.
Oh, wait a minute.
So
that doesn't sound right.
So, yeah, he did a blanket pardon, and he dated it going back to anything that they did 2014 moving forward was pardoned.
Well, I tell you.
So, so it just wasn't his term in office. And they think they're so smart, Bob, but they're not as smart as they think because now they lost their Fifth Amendment right. If they're brought to subpoena to go to Congress and testify, any one of them, and they're asked to testify, and they're asked a question about a deed or whatever happened, they can't lie about it, and they can't claim the Fifth Amendment about self-incrimination.
Oh, really?
Because they've been pardoned.
That's right.
They have to.
They already
the
have
question.
Protection. So once they've got that protection, they can't invoke any other protection.
No. So now, if they lie and they prove that they lied with their answer, 5 years in jail for perjury, lying to Congress.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't do themselves too much good. They opened themselves right up. And I'm willing to bet they're going to get subpoenaed. Fauci's going to get subpoenaed. And they got documentation and evidence on certain things. So when they ask him a question, they already know the answer. And if he lies, bingo. Liz and Cheney, same way. They lie, bingo. So they're not as smart as they think they are. So, and by telling the truth, we'll really find out who did what. And we'll expose them. We can't put them in jail for telling the truth. Oh, we can put him in jail for lying to Congress. Yeah.
All right.
I didn't think that far ahead.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We got a call?
No, I'm just thinking to myself, I do have something in mind I'd love to talk about.
Let's hear it.
That's more locally oriented, and it's about the skating rink.
That was one of my topics.
Oh, I had a suspicion that was. I had a suspicion. But I
definitely was going to talk about the rink.
I have a question for you. You know, one of the discussions I heard was brought up about the rink was using the Horseneck parking lot building that had been temporary building that had been created for the fire department, using that to create a temporary rink while the work is done on Dorothy Hamill rink.
Not big enough.
Okay, that's one thing. But at the same time, Tony was saying to me, Tony Savino, he and I had the conversation. He was saying to me, the thing is that the Boys and Girls Club want to use that area during a certain portion of their renovations. And that reminded me, wasn't there an ice rink in the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah, it's a small skating rink across the street.
Are they planning to put a bigger one in?
No. That's just a small recreational rink. It's not a regulation of any sort.
Boy, that's a shame.
They could have any function there.
They're making that building so much bigger than it was. I'm thinking, geez, there ought to be room for a regulation rink. But maybe not.
It's no. Also, some 20 years ago, I think it might have been Rick Lowe.
No.
They had a committee 20 years ago put together, and they looked at finding a new location for the Hamill Rink.
Oh, yes.
And they looked at five different locations that were suggested. Each and every one of them were rejected for one reason or another. And they did a really due diligence on investigating putting the rink in another area. And at the end of the day, they said, fine, we did all the due diligence. There is no other place in the town of Greenwich to put this rink. So now what?
You know, I heard that conversation as well. And it reminded me of how much trouble we have had trying to find a location for our tower or for our antenna.
Right. Right.
It is very hard to find a place for stuff like that.
Right, exactly. Mm. So, and what I found amazing about these hypocrites in the RTM, they really don't get it. They become, litigators, and they become lawyers, and most of them don't know a lot about how the process works with an MI. This MI is only the start to move it on to the next level of investigation.
Hmm.
It's not an approval to build anything. It allows the applicant to go to planning and zoning, go to architectural review, go to wetlands, go to the sewer division, the public works, all the zoning requirements. It allows them to go step by step. Is there enough power? Is there enough water? Is there enough parking? But all of these things are investigated. Traffic studies.
Mm.
That's all part of the MI process and putting together a diligent cost estimates. As you go along through the process, you find out what everything is going to cost, and you can come up with a factual, detailed plan that you bring forward to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then once you know what all those factors are, then you have to go back to the BET for funding and appropriation. Then you have your public hearings on it. And after that, it moves to the next level. And then once the BET approves it, it has to go to the RTM for approval of the budget. So what they did was just make this project several million dollars more costly, because by the time they go back all through these motions again, the clock is running, and day by day, costs are rising. So, again, they don't know what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
They well, we don't know how much it's going to cost. It's a blank check. The view is going to be blocked. And really, it made me laugh, is that all of a sudden they're so concerned about McKinney Terrace. I'm the abutting neighbor.
Yes.
I sent a letter in to them saying we have no problem with this project. I brought it up to the board, and my board had no problem with this project.
You say that you're talking about the thing where they flip where the location.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So because I heard some people say that the view would be badly impeded by putting the rink where the baseball field is now.
There was going to be a nice walkway.
Okay. But the view from your buildings is what they were referring to.
Yeah. So what? But nobody came over Kenny Terrace.
Oh, they didn't?
They were speaking for us.
Yeah.
Nobody spoke to us about it.
Oh, I see. Oh,
and so all of a sudden they're concerned about me, but they weren't so damn concerned when they were fighting me doing my construction.
Yeah, really.
When that Byram neighborhood came out and made me go to the RTM for an MI, they challenged the MI that I got, so I had to go and get it approved. Where were they then? I mean, there's a handful of vocal minority of people that say no to everything. It's no, 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 because they don't want it. And they all started out, oh, we're in favor of the rink, but they're all hypocrites. They're all hypocrites, every single one of them. Again, like I say, the process, this was just, it wasn't an approval to build the rink there or to build it at the size that they have. It was just an MI to move it to the next level. And they would have had plenty of time to kill it during that process because of a bunch of public hearings they have in planning and zoning. Then you have the Zoning Board of Appeals. Then you have the budget hearings, which it's more public hearings on the financing of it.
Yeah.
So all they did, like I say, is make this project several million dollars more costly. And I have no love for them. And I'll remember who voted against it. And none of them are going to have my support because they were totally irresponsible. And it was 136 to 52.
Yeah, it was strong.
Six abstentions against it. And like I say, this was only to move it to the next level. And I remember many, many years ago, 30 years ago, there was MI approval. The Board of Selectmen approved an MI. And at the time, I wasn't happy with the approval. So I was opposing it at the Board of Selectmen level. And John Marconaut was the first selectman at the time. And he said to me, Sam, the Board of Selectmen level, this is only the movement, the first step in construction. We're just approving it to move it on to the next level. The next level is the professionals, the people in the planning and zoning, the people in traffic and architectural review and all those other agencies, the sewer division. So we're just moving it to the next level, and there's be more than ample time to have public review of the project as it evolves. And he was right. He was 100% right, and I agreed with it. And so I stopped my opposition, let it go to each level, and as it progressed, you see if it had merit or not when all the factual information was coming in. But they didn't give that opportunity to the Parks and Rec. They took that opportunity away to have the professionals review it.
I want to give an opportunity to a phone caller that just called in. Tom would like to join into this conversation. I guess he's got some opinions about this rink situation.
All right.
Go ahead,
Let's
Tom.
Let's go, Tom.
Hey, yeah, I was there last night. And actually, I was there 5 years ago in the Public Works committee when it was first brought to the RTM. And at that time, the ring committee wanted to put it in the parking lot and wanted to put it on top of the memorial trees and the memorial park. And there was great opposition on that. And they stuck
that would never happen. Yeah.
Oh no, I know, but they stuck to their guns for a while, and there was a lot of opposition in these meetings because they came and presented the meetings to our group, and it was, and also the group, the public works at that time said, yeah, we want to build this. Let's build this fast. And this thing should have been built 3 years ago, because what the RTM was saying to them is, you know, you have a space. We want you to rebuild on that space. And you're right. There's a lot of noise got involved, you know, the trees and the boring samples and the view and all that. But throw that all out. They said, we want to build it. Build it right away. Use the space you have. And what I found out is the committee and the head of the committee, it was his way or the highway. And if you go back and watch the presentation, he got a little unhinged when he was, you know, when his time was up. And that's the way he's been along the whole way. He has not been, in my opinion, not a good leader. This thing, as I said, should have been built 2 years ago because everyone was ready. But, you know, when they were dead set on doing what they wanted to do and not taking account. By the way, they're not taking into account with any the skaters. It's really just the hockey rink folks, the hockey folks that want, you know, they want it. They all want it. But that's the only thing they cared about. Is the hockey players?
Well,
I've been at it 6 years with this, and you're right. The last 2 years, I have not been paying attention because it's the same old broken record for the last 6 years. And I'll let you speak in a minute. Once again, I'm going to say it again. It should have been built 2 years ago. It should have been done 2 years ago.
The general public though gets more use out of it than the hockey players.
Yeah.
I have
friends who are figure skaters. One of them actually is a contemporary of Dorothy Hamill, and I guess they competed in town against the other. She said they've always been left. They've always been left behind. She still wanted it made because she's still going to her classes and her students are still going to be able to use it. But they're always second citizens there, and people want to be heard, as you know.
And Dorothy Hamill learned how to skate there. And actually, Dorothy Hamill is one of her original first coach and skating, worked for me as in my accounting department. And she used to teach skate. She was a skating coach after hours. And Dorothy Hamill was one of her students.
Yeah. And, one of the other things you got to look at, we're at a skating club. Came up with an idea of a new rink like 2 years after them. They've already broken ground. So
private sector.
Yeah, you know, they are private.
The private sector always can.
Yeah, well, of course.
But they always can do things faster and better.
Yeah, but this
they're not dealing.
People, yeah, I know. That's the problem. We're dealing with you know the RTM. You're dealing with the BET. You're building, you know, dealing with all the different groups. But this was green-lighted 7 years ago, 6 years ago, and they said, "Just do it this way, and it's gonna ram right through." Yeah. And I went to the first couple of the committee meetings, and it was like, "Why be here? You know, my participation's not wanted." And this is not sour grapes. You can go look at how the vote came out.
Yeah, I see. That was 136 to 52, yeah. Six abstentions.
Yeah, but you can see who voted for it and who voted against.
Yeah. The typical example of what was going on in New York with the skating rink. The Bloomberg couldn't get it done.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
Trump
about.
Trump came in and got it done in 6 months. They were working on it for 6 years. So, again, private sector, you can do a whole bunch of things and get it done faster.
Yeah, and you look at the Eastern.
I don't think I'm ever going to see that rink built. To be honest with you.
Yeah, I agree. There's too many voices who want what they want,
right?
And they're opposing views. But so let's look at the Eastern Civic Center. Now, that thing is finally getting built. And I can remember going to a couple of meetings towards the end at the old one, in the old bowling alley, where we used to go for the sewer meetings, right? And there are people saying, no, I want a pool. No, I want a full-scale gym. You know, all these things. And I think it was Joe, you know, kept saying, guys, you know, the pool doesn't make sense here. And he was very strong-willed, but he gave really points to these folks. Because, you know, there's no pool there. There's no gym there. You know, it's really replacing what was there. And if you look at it, it's the exact same footprint. And I agree.
Right,
I've heard there's some issues about the same footprint, but that was never explored. Well, maybe it was explored, but it was quickly discounted. But what finally got the Eastick Civic Center is everyone put their foot down. No pool. I remember even I said no pool. I've stood up in that crowd. So it can be done, and,
well,
and I do think the model of what we do for schools works really well. You get a building committee meets once a week, and they just work like crazy, working their way to get funding. And I think I said last night as a joke, Joe Kelly should run the committee. He'll get it done. Look at Cardinal Stadium.
Yeah.
Little advice. I don't know if he wants to do it, though. I was just saying
if they ever ask you to serve on a building committee, don't do it. Especially
right,
a school building
yeah.
committee. Don't do it because I served on the building committee for North Miami School and Riverside School.
Yeah.
And believe me, it's a thankless job and you'll get attacked for doing the right thing.
Yeah, no.
I'd never serve on another committee again.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the RTM. I heard someone say
you get paid too much. Yeah, right, yeah.
You know,
it was my own people that were attacking us. I said, what the hell's going on with you guys?
Yeah.
I'm saving you money.
I know. Hey, yeah. I look at the Central Middle School. I'm glad it's done. I voted for it. I said, yeah, I did it. I closed my eyes, though, because the words I've heard, once again, I'm in the bill, you know, the Public Works Committee. I see all this stuff, and I just have to listen. But one of the reasons that it's the highest elementary school or middle school in the state is one of the the proponents, one of the people on the building committee says, this is Greenwich. It should be the most expensive one in the state. And I don't know how that's relevant, how that makes sense. You know, so this is what we're up against sometimes.
So, Tom, let me tell you.
That, you can build.
Let me ask a question. Where's the RTM going to meet now when the Central Middle School is under construction? The high school?
Same place. They're putting the new middle school in the fields in the back. But by the way, I personally think it's going to look really silly having the fields in front of the school building. Because you know, I was saying to someone, you go to Darien High School. That's what they did. And when they rebuilt that school, they put all the fields in front. So you really don't have an entrance. It's kind of like weird. But some people want what they want. And if they have a louder voice and they vilify the person with an opposite view, And they get enough people. Well, we should know that from the national politics. I don't even need to explain to anybody.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's some sort of ACULA thing coming up next week on the 29th, and I read the list of things they're going to discuss. They're delusional. They're all they're going to do is scare people. I don't know if you know about this. It's the YWCA, I believe. And they're going to say, what to prepare yourself for a Trump administration? And I read the list of all the things. It's scare. It's like a scare tactic.
Not Trump's list. It's not Trump's list.
All the negative things Trump is going to do.
That's what they say. You know, and especially this 2025. He has nothing to do with this 2025. And half the country doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. But they're ginning up fear. They're fear-mongering. Yeah. And just sit back and wait and see. He's going to do what he ran on, and he everything he mentioned during his campaign. He's doing now. So it's no scarier. There's no boogeyman. We know what he was going to do. That's why he won.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff is just hyperbole.
Yeah. But that's the motive. That's the way people do things now.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's not right. And I have to admit, the last few meetings at the RTM and last year's budget was very civil. It was completely different than the session before, the group before. You know,
right.
And it was people on both sides that got voted out, and there were good people on both sides that got voted out, but they were also a little disruptive, I guess. But it's been very kind, and there was a woman at the end of the 40 speakers, she was like probably number 38 or 37, who said, "This is amazing. This is not. No one's really gotten ugly, but also people from opposite sides of the coin are getting together on this. Whether the answer is right or wrong, that's not what I'm talking about." She said that, you know, polar opposites attracted on this cause. And so, yeah, this is a stumble, but I do think the rink will get built. I think if we listen to what the most vocal people want and how they want to see it, because I know I'll hold them to the standard. If they're just blowing smoke just to not make it, I'm not going to forget. Just like I didn't forget 6 years ago when it was in those meetings. So
yeah,
that, you know, I'm an elephant with that. I don't forget what people say.
I have to agree though about the fear mongering and the boogeyman in the closet. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No.
And I'm nothing but optimistic about the next 4 years. I really am.
Yeah, me too.
So, and I think I feel it. As a matter of fact, I have this. I don't know about you, but I have a sense of calm, and I it's out there in the general public that people feel calm all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'm saying I remember things. So I remember 8 years ago when he got elected the first time. You know, I work in the city. You couldn't walk down in front of Trump Towers on Fifth Avenue because there were so many people going crazy. You know, and then
right.
and then I think during the when he got ignored, you know, wasn't there a fire at a church? You know, the night after his first day or something, and there was all kinds of marching in the street, and it was why'd they wait till dark? I think there was violence, and it was from the left
yeah.
side. I'm trying to remember what it was, but then we had the whole summer of violence. You know, it was like everyone had the right to go out and do this, and they were not being held back. You know, by the left.
It was being promulgated. Matter of fact, you had people on the left that were encouraging it.
Yeah, yeah. There was when he first got in, it was no peaceful. It was peaceful transfer on the steps of the Capitol, but they were not on the streets later that night or the night after.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. And then they kept pushing it. And, you know, my wife's from the Northwest. I mean, you really can't go there the way we used to be able to go there. It's just, they just let it run down. And they're starting to wake up to that, but, you know, it's going to take a while longer.
It certainly is, but I'm hopeful. I'm really optimistic, and I see big changes starting already. And I just want to get into it and get things done.
Yeah, and I hope they explain things that they're doing, and because it's not they're not going after the kids. They're going after the criminal element. My belief.
Exactly. He said that, and that's just what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They arrested a bunch of them today, murderers and rapists, child molesters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I hope it's true, you know, right?
And put them on a plane and get them out. You know what? I want to do. I they say, well, how are you going to get rid of it? The country won't take them back. I said, we'll get a whole bunch of them. We'll get a charter plane. We'll put parachutes on them and just kick them out.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do that. But it may be funny, but Yeah, but I just thought of something. This is the craziest thing. The head of HR grabbed me in the office because we have harassment training once a year. Because I work in New York City. New York City requires it. I think New York State requires it. Certain companies over a certain amount of people in them have to take this two-hour harassment training. And I'm thinking, who are they? Where do they get the moral high ground to tell, to lecture us on harassment? You know, it's the city council. It's the legislature in Albany. It's the governor. It's the, you know, the mayor. I mean, it makes no sense. And thank
should
you
ask the next time. The next time they have this, ask them, you want to see the fund that they have set aside for the non-disclosure agreements. these politicians, yeah. They're the ones that are doing the harassing.
Exactly what I was saying to, and she started laughing because she goes, you're right. You know, it's, who are these people to tell us that, you know, right. that we have to be trained? It's ridiculous. But this is when, you know, when you have a government in New York City like that. And I love New York, you know that. But some of the things...
Tom, you're hit with that congestion pricing?
Well, I take the train. I'm a train guy. Yeah. So yeah. Right. But then if I want to go in for some reason, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's basically it's $9 in, $9 out. Yeah.
And unbelievable.
Yeah, I was at a deli across the street from the office getting a sandwich. And they had a sign, starting in January 20th, we are increasing our prices on some items due to, well, it was funny, they itemized it, due to high cost of eggs, unusual high cost of eggs, and congestion pricing. I'm going, you're telling me they're charging delivery trucks congestion pricing? That's ridiculous.
God.
Let's get to the housing. You know why housing's so expensive? The taxes are too high. The oil bills are too high. Everything is too high. And it's the government who's done that to us.
Tom, look at your electric bill. The bottom of electric bill, public benefit section.
Yeah. Oh, I bet
you it's about $150 that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, it was very high.
That's our cue.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, thanks for the call, Tom. 661-5051. You've been listening to Sam Rome. We're on 1490. WGCH. Bobby, we've got to make up for some of those missed commercials.
Yep.
All right. We'll be back right after the heartbreak.
There you go.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
From townhall.com, I'm Keith Peters reporting. Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth has passed the final procedural hurdle on his way to an expected final confirmation vote on Friday. Bob Agnew reports.
A simple 51-49 majority vote was all it took to get Hegseth past cloture and on his way to confirmation by the GOP-controlled Senate. A vote is expected on Friday. Allegations of past marital infidelity and alcohol problems were enough to switch moderate Republicans Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins into the no column. Supporters say Hegseth, a decorated war veteran, will help President Trump return the military's focus to keeping America safe and away from woke ideology. Bob Agner reporting.
House and Senate GOP leaders are debating a possible bargain with Democrats that would include government funding, California wildfire aid, a debt limit hike, and border security money. Bernie Bennett has more.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune indicates that he is open to linking everything together in a giant package, but that several options are currently under discussion. Speaker Mike Johnson will continue to hear out Republican members' concerns as they try to strategize a path forward on budget reconciliation, including at next week's House GOP retreat. Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole and Maine Senator Susan Collins, the GOP's top appropriators, huddled Wednesday to talk about the possibility of a top-line agreement to set the overall totals necessary for fiscal 2025 funding bills. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
President Trump is pardoning pro-life activists who were convicted of blockading abortion clinic entrances. Trump has previously criticized former President Biden's Justice Department for pursuing charges against protesters involved in blockades and promised these cases would be taken care of immediately. On Wall Street, the Dow by 408 points, the Nasdaq rose 44. More on these stories at townhall.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it.
Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you.
But you decide if you pay it in full.
But you definitely should, because again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline. So I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
Mortgage rates are dropping for the first time in weeks.
Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the average rate on a 30-year mortgage fell this week to 6.96%. A week ago, it was just above 7%. The modest drop is the first in 6 weeks and reflects a decline in the bond yields that lenders use as a guide to pricing mortgages. Elevated mortgage rates and rising home prices have kept the U.S. housing market in a deep sales slump. Economists are generally forecasting that the average rate on a 30-year mortgage will remain above 6% this year. I'm Alex Vega.
United Health Group will promote one of its top insurance executives to replace Brian Thompson, the slain CEO of its United Healthcare arm. The company said Thursday that Tim Noel will become the next United Healthcare leader. Noel most recently led United Healthcare's Medicare and retirement business. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The Labor Department reports a jump in jobless claims applications.
Last week saw 6,000 applicants added to the rolls for a total of 223,000 for the week, 4,000 more than analysts expected. Weekly applicants for jobless benefits are considered an indicator for layoffs. The total number of Americans receiving unemployment benefits for the week of January 11th climbed by 46,000 to 1.9 million, the most since November 2021. George Williams reporting.
The Supreme Court has revived a requirement that owners of millions of small businesses register with an arm of the Treasury Department under an anti-money laundering law. The justices granted an emergency plea made by the Justice Department to allow enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act enacted in 2021 to crack down on the illicit use of anonymous shell companies. More on these stories at townhall.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Will be mostly clear and frigidly cold for tonight, around 12 above, with sunshine for tomorrow in the low 30s, wind chills 10 to 20 early, and mostly clear for tomorrow night. Will be around 10 above, then sunshine for Saturday in the upper 20s, with partial sunshine for Sunday around 38. Full sunshine for Monday in the mid to upper 30s, partly sunny for Tuesday around 38. If your credit card bills are overwhelming you, call Consolidated Credit to help reduce your payments by up to 50% and lower your interest rates. Just call 800-690-1357. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun. I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
It's time now for that informative issues and answers show, Greenwich Matters, where your host, Sam Romeo, will keep you up to date on the political scene in Greenwich, along with decisions made at the state and federal levels that impact Greenwich. And, of course, you'll take your calls at 661-5051. That's 661-5051. And now, here is your host, Sam Romeo.
Welcome back, folks. 661-5051 if you want to get in the mix. So, Bob, last week we were talking about the electric costs. And don't you know the following, that Friday, it seemed that like they were listening to our show, I guess, all the politicians. Uh-huh. Because everybody started talking about the public benefit portion of our bill that next day, either it was just coincidental or we hit a nerve. But they're still talking about it. All week long, the legislators have been bringing it up now that they want to do something about the high cost of electricity. But we're taking it on the chin here, and it's unconscionable that there's an extra $150, $175 a month added to I know my bill anyway, for the public benefit. And when you try to find out what those costs are, you find out it's going to subsidize electric charging stations or subsidizing people who can't pay their bill. And I just think it's totally unfair, especially at the high cost of electricity itself, the kilowatt hour that we're paying. I think everybody's getting an upcharge in their bill. So, shop around, go online. I got one, but I found one now today. I checked again, Bob.
Yes.
And there's one outfit, Consolidated. It's 9.9 cents a kilowatt hour. Hmm. So they got into the mix. So if anybody's listening out there, go online, check out your electric rates. Go to Energize Connecticut, CT Energize or Energize Connecticut, and you'll see comparable rates. And you sign up and take the ones that have no cancellation fee and are either 11 months or 12 months, whatever, and make the best possible deal you can, because you're going to have to do this on your own. And I hate to say this because I hate getting partisan, but it's true. The only way we're going to change things, whether it's from building housing or getting prices down or a budget under control, is we got to stop sending Democrats to Hartford. Connecticut has been controlled by the Democrats for the last 50 years, and it's gotten us nowhere. I happen to like Ned Lamont. I think he's doing a great job as governor. But now they got his hands tied because the legislators have a supermajority and they can override whatever veto he vetoes. So they're in control. So it makes no difference who the governor is, either Republican or Democrat. When you have a supermajority, you're at their peril. And the only way to do that is have a balance in government. We need checks and balances. The Senate is 24-12 in a Democrat favor, and the House, I believe, is like 140-47 or something like that. We're at the peril of the Democrat establishment. So we're going to have to fight for ourselves. Does the ring of 1776 ring a familiar bell? Anyway.
We'll have to dump a bunch of tea into the harbor or something.
Yeah, dressed as Indians.
Yeah.
Come down to the Mayanus River Bridge here.
Yeah. Right.
Or North Mayanus. So here we go.
Okay.
Greenwich police found a man stolen in a stolen Volvo. Greenwich officers, and this I think is part of my surveillance, Greenwich officers arrested a Bridgeport man found driving a stolen vehicle on Wednesday, according to the Greenwich Police Department. The police discovered the car while investigating a report of four hooded individuals looking at the cars on Putnam Hill around 4:30 a.m. That's up the street from Mason Street, Bobby. said Captain Patrick Smythe. One officer saw two cars in the area closely following one another and turned onto Millbank Avenue onto East Putnam Avenue before the two cars split up and took off in different directions, Smythe said. The officer followed one of the vehicles, which fled into the Interstate 95 north, according to Smythe. Another officer saw the other vehicle, Volvo, go west on West Putnam Avenue and into the Shell station. Officers approached the suspect, who was then described as uncooperative and refused to give any identification or answer any of the questions, Smythe said. Police determined the Volvo had been reported stolen, and they placed the suspect, identified as Giovanni Jesus Quintes, under arrest. Smythe said the police found Quintes was on probation for a weapons in a motor vehicle violation from back in 2021. Quintes' bond was set at $10,000. He was scheduled to appear in Superior Court February 5th. The charges on Quintes is facing at Greenwich Police is incident were not immediately available. Well, I would assume stolen cars be the top of the list. Be one of them. But anyway, I believe that this was part of the ring that has been on the western end of town, and they were at Armstrong Court, and I had them on surveillance and gave that video. It looks like these were the four individuals. So they got them. They got one of them, and he's presently being held in the Bridgeport Correctional Center until his trial. So great job, Chief. And the men in blue, keep us safe. So, Bob, here's another controversial one that Trump signed, the executive order, birthright citizenship. And I guess our Attorney General, Tong, has got his nose bent out of shape on it. And he said he's joining 17 other states seeking to block the executive order. Now, here's how I feel about birthright citizenship. There's only 30 other countries in the world that have birthright citizenship. Not all countries have it. And it's specific on how you get that birthright. Now, I have no problem with birthright citizen per se here in the United States. But there has to be some criteria. You can't break into the country illegally and have a baby and say, okay, now it's an American citizen. I will go along with birthright citizenship if you come here legally, you're a legal resident alien in the country with a green card, and you've been here working for whatever years, and you have a baby, then that's acceptable. But just to break in and come in illegally just so you can have your child become an American citizen. No, so I think there should be some criteria to it, not just it's automatic. Got to come here legally and be legal and be of legal status living here. And
what does the law say now?
I think what's going to happen here, it's going to go up to the Supreme Court for adjudication. It's not going to be settled in any by any federal judge or any local judge. It'll be thoroughly vetted. And I think actually that's the whole intent of what I think Trump really wants, to have it settled once and for all. And we'll have a definitive answer from the Supreme Court on birthright. Because originally, when I think it was 1814 is when they came up with this, it was reviewed, and it was because of slavery, and that it was deemed that the slaves weren't citizens, so they neutralized them, the ones that were born here naturalized them, and wrote that law specifically to address the slavery issue. So I think it's time to have it reviewed and addressed once and for all and put it to rest. But I think you have to be here legally and not break in just to get that status. Because what comes with that was a lot of other stuff. Being an anchor baby and
what's that
bringing
mean?
In family members. So
what's an anchor baby?
It goes on down the line. So let's see what happens.
Sam, can you hear me?
Okay. What else we got here?
Sam?
We're
having a problem.
This is coyote mating season, Bob. I bet you didn't know that. Bobby? Whoa.
Sam, can you hear me?
Did I go dark?
Well, we're going to take a break because I want to get this fixed up. So everybody stand by. We'll be back with Sam Romeo on Greenwich Matters in just a moment.
Nobody knows like Finocchio knows. He knows our business.
For over 50 years, Finocchio Brothers Incorporated has served the commercial and residential construction industries with scheduled or on-call trash and debris removal. Finocchio can also supply you with any size or special dumpster. For prompt, reliable service with radio dispatch trucks, the ability to load at ground level, and always a competitive price, call Finocchio Brothers every time. In Connecticut, call 203-869-9099. Or in New York, call 914-939-5346. Finocchio Brothers, Liberty Place in Stamford. We knows our business. Call 203-869-9099 or 914-939-5346.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
Will be mostly clear and frigidly cold for tonight, around 12 above, with sunshine for tomorrow in the low 30s, wind chills 10 to 20 early, and mostly clear for tomorrow night. Will be around 10 above, then sunshine for Saturday in the upper 20s, with partial sunshine for Sunday around 38. Full sunshine for Monday in the mid to upper 30s, partly sunny for Tuesday around 38. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Well, we have a new election, and with that, a lot of new ideas about tax planning, what are taxes going to look like going forward, what do we need to do to position ourselves so that we disinherit the government and not your kids. It means being tax smart with our business, retirement, and income planning. Because if your business, income, and retirement planning is not tax smart, it's probably tax dumb. Let's fix that today. Call me.
Financial solutions you can rely on.
Dean Owen, CPA.
FDA.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My debt problem started probably about 2016. I needed my life to change financially. I called Trinity, and I ended up joining based on high credit card bills and high interest rate. And my counselor at Trinity has been great, and Trinity has been helping me to get on the right path of paying off these credit card bills, bringing down the interest rate. They have consolidated my bills into one low monthly payment. And now I am finally getting out of credit card debt. So I just want to say thank you, Trinity, for showing me a better and greater path.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Sharon, and soon I will be debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
The Beatles. No band has had a greater impact on music and pop culture. Hi, this is Rob Adams. Please join me Sunday mornings at 9 as we meet the Beatles. The music of John, Paul, George, and Ringo will be examined as a band and as solo artists. We'll also review their influences and the impact they had on the world. So join me for Meet the Beatles with Rob Adams, Sunday mornings at 9 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com.
Hi, this is Sid Mark with more of the legendary sounds of Frank Sinatra. So, how many number one albums did Mr. Sinatra have? And which ones sold the most? And how many weeks did they stay on the chart? All of this on this week's Sounds of Sinatra. My name is Sid Mark, and you're invited.
This Sunday evening from 5 till 7 on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Well, I think we have Sam Romeo back now.
Yes, we're back. We're live, and thanks to technology, we're doing it in a different manner.
Yes, so, yes.
So Bob came up with a great idea. Oh, I'm a caller right now, caller.
Yeah, that's it. Just calling in your own show.
Right. So, Bob,
yeah.
This is the mating season. For coyotes.
Oh, that's right. You started to talk about that.
Yeah, and the Connecticut wildlife experts are warning residents to be extra cautious with their pets at this time of the year when the coyotes start mating. The season typically lasts from January to March, according to the Connecticut Energy Environmental Protection. And so I've seen them around here, and matter of fact, I think I saw one that got run over on the interstate yesterday morning. It was on the side of the road. But they look like big German shepherds. So don't confuse them to a dog roaming. And if you see them, you know, just like bears, bang your pots or pans or something and make sure you keep your pets inside, especially the smaller ones. So they'll grab them real quick and run off with them. And also your kids, don't leave them out in the yard playing if you have any wooded area around, or even in the suburbs, even around here, because I've seen the coyotes right here in my backyard also.
Mm.
So just be very diligent about them, because they are those sneaky guys. like Tom was saying before, there's an article here, it was in Saturday's paper, and they put it right on the front page that ICE agents could show up at state schools and start taking the kids out of schools. That's not going to be happening. And there's a lot of ginned-up fear-mongering going on, and I just hope that people just take a break, step back, take a deep breath, and inhale. Because if you listen to President Trump, he has said he's going after the worst, the criminals, before they do anything else. And he does have compassion for the kids that were brought here, when they were small. And they no other country, the DACA kids, than the United States, and have gone to school here. They're productive. They're educated. They're working in our system, and I'm sure there's going to be special provision. He's not going after those people. He's going after the criminals.
Right.
Don't believe everything you hear. The left, all that they have is fear-mongering. They lost the election. Sit back and let's see what happens. Don't go on and start fear-mongering and get everybody ginned up. We got to bring this country together, because if we don't, we're not going to be a country anymore. Enough is enough. We went through 4 years of HELL, and now I think we're in the purgatory area, Bob, and we're starting getting rid of some of our sins. So stay tuned. Okay, what else do we have? I see that the, if I can find it, as the, I'm all out of sorts here now that the, we aren't doing things right here. I have a note here that they want to ban the nips. You know those little bottles
Yes.
You can get, I don't know how much they even are.
Scotch or all kinds of various hard
vodka,
liquor.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're complaining that they're seeing all over the roadsides and then all over the place. Right now they have a 5 cent surtax, not a deposit, surtax, because they have no machinery to take them back. And so they want to ban them now. But they've been making millions of dollars, or hundreds of thousands of dollars, a year on the surtax on these nips. And then where they collect this 5 cent surcharge, they're giving back money to the communities that have them, if they're using that for cleanup, on the roadside cleanup.
All right.
But now the legislature wants to take it a step further, say, okay, it's not working. We're still seeing a lot. And I don't see them. I mean, I don't know where they're seeing a lot of these bottles on the sides of the road.
Well, could be up in the northern part of our state. I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm up
Hartford
there,
area, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well we have a better class of people down there, I guess.
We're
more,
could be.
We're could more be. Conservationists. But I don't see them, especially around the parking lots. Is where you would expect to see them.
Yes.
Or around, you know, parking lots and liquor stores where people go in and buy them real quick and have a nip and they're on their way and they throw it out the window. But I don't see it. So I think they should be spending their time on our budget, on things that really impact our lives each and every day, like the cost of electricity, the taxes, the health care, the cost of prescription drugs, you know, the pensions, things of that nature, laws that affect you every day. These things are like make work things that we're going to do. Well, I'm in a committee. We have to do something. Education, do something that that's meaningful to getting elected and being in Hartford and being one of the lawmakers. I don't think this is it. Do something about the redemption centers. We have people coming in from New York now that pay 5 cents for a bottle, and they come into Connecticut, and we're paying them 10 cents. How do you like that, Bob?
Yeah, that's still kind of surprising.
Yeah, they're making money. Like you go to Costco or any supermarket, and you buy a Coke or Pepsi or whatever, or water, and they charge only 5 cents deposit. You come into Connecticut, and they give you 10 cents for that same bottle. So you see a lot of New York plates around Acme there and some of the other stores. And our machines are getting full. Our people are waiting in line. And these people are doubling their money just by buying stuff. So they should be working on that. Have redemption centers where we don't have to have the machines. Have more redemption centers where people can bring them in and get in and out real quick. And make it more convenient. Have multi-machines that can take both bottles and cans, not just one bottle and one can and one glass. Have a multi-purpose. I think the only store I think that does multi-cans, the only machine I know is that one in Stanford. I don't want to say where it is because I might go there.
And, me too.
and it takes cans and plastic in the same machine. You don't have to separate your cans and bottles and keep them in the same bag. You just feed the machine. That's why I like it.
Well, where I go, there's only the one machine. And although all I ever put in are cans, I think it takes the bottles as well.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
I think I know where it is, and I won't mention it.
Okay. Because, surprisingly, there's never a line there. Oh, I probably shouldn't say that either, because somebody will figure out where I'm talking about.
I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
No, but it's amazing because there's usually a lot of people there, and when there's not a lot of people there, the machines are down, they're full, they're not empty.
Yeah.
Or when you get in there, they get full after you do 10, they should make it better for people to bring back the recyclables if that's what they really want to do. And they want to you do recyclables. But I don't think that's the real issue. I think the issue is that they would rather have you not bring it back so they could collect that money and put it in their coffers.
Yes.
And that money goes to fund campaigns. So I'm trying to hear Luke back in and see what happened. No, I don't see. Did you have me locked out on the internet, Bob? Have an engineer bugged in?
What do you mean? I don't.
I was trying to sign back in.
Oh, again. No, I did turn it off. I turned it off.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I can open it up again if you want to try.
Yeah, we'll just try it just to see.
All right.
What happens?
I'll let you know when it's it's up.
All right. But anyway, I think they should make it easier for people to return and stuff because I believe they made like $37 million last year of people that did not return bottles.
Wow.
And for whatever reason. Oh.
Okay, I'm up and running. You can give it a shot, see if we can connect.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do something on my end, because it says when I click engineer.
Yeah.
Change to mixer layout, maybe acquire an upgrade. So I don't know what that's all about. I have to have somebody look at that.
Hmm. Yeah, that is strange.
I don't know what that means.
Now, you just connected, according to me.
I mean, I connected again now.
Yeah.
How about now? Is it connected?
It says it's connected. Do you not hear us?
Hello? I'm going to put my headset on.
Oh, yeah. You gotta, and, of course, the us is going to be me talking.
No.
You can't hear
me? I'm not. Nah.
No, my goodness.
No, I hear me coming through there, but I'm not coming through on the my headset.
Yep.
All right.
There's definitely an issue there.
On my end. I'll have to figure it out before next week's show.
Yeah. Well, you know what we didn't try? We have that other program that works differently. Doesn't
which one?
It's called, I can't remember it now, but it works differently. I have to send you an email with a link.
All right. All right. Why don't we go to a break and we'll do that and we'll try that.
All right. What the heck?
Okay. You've been listening to Sam Romeo on the telephone, 661-5051. 1490 WGCH, and we'll be right back.
Okay. Nobody knows like Finocchio knows.
He knows our business. For over 50 years, Finocchio Brothers Incorporated has served the commercial and residential construction industries with scheduled or on-call trash and debris removal. Finocchio can also supply you with any size or special dumpster. For prompt, reliable service with radio dispatch trucks, the ability to load at ground level, and always a competitive price, call Finocchio Brothers every time. In Connecticut, call 203-869-9099. Or in New York, call 914-939-5346. Finocchio Brothers, Liberty Place in Stamford. We knows our business. Call 203-869-9099 or 914-939-5346.
At Parsonage, their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way in a unique home-like setting that values dignity, pride, and independence. If you seek some assistance with daily living, Parsonage Cottage is a senior residence providing an affordable transition between home and nursing care. For many seniors, a little help with meals, housekeeping, and personal services makes the difference between happily living alone or being dependent upon family and friends. Their dedicated staff provides a full spectrum of services and activities to ensure the happiness, comfort, well-being, and independence of every resident. Parsonage Cottage is conveniently located off Exit 4 of I-95 and Exit 31 of the Merritt Parkway at 88 Parsonage Road in Greenwich. They invite you to contact them for a no-obligation tour of the facility. Call Penny Laurie at 203-869-6226. 869-6226. Parsonage, where you live life your way.
Your family is the reason you work hard every day. You clothe them, you feed them, and you support the things they love to do. What would happen if you were to pass away? Would your family be able to afford the things they have now? That's why life insurance is so important to have. It's a way to help replace your income and protect your family if you aren't around to take care of their finances. Instead of calling a 1-800 number, you can choose a local agent who will be there to find the right financially secure life insurance. The life insurance agents at Greenwich Independent Insurance are ready for your call.
Hi, I'm Lisa Bologna. If Medicare is in your future, we're here to help you get started with supplements for Original Medicare. Long-term care insurance can help secure your path to financial security. Let's discuss your options.
And I'm Ray Beninato. Times are changing, and life insurance is more important than ever. Protect your family's future. We can help.
Call, email, or visit Lisa, Ray, and Rick at GreenwichInsurance.com. 203-869-0302.
We'll be right back.
Sam, I think I'm going to have to put us back on the air on the phone for now.
All right, let's do that.
We're both struggling with this thing, and it's not going to get anywhere at this point.
No.
I ran up through all the commercials the last time we did this. Now I can't. There's no commercials for me to play.
Yeah.
Sometimes radio really is giving us a hard time. Oh, okay. I finally got that part fixed. Now the trick is I got to send this thing to your email. All right, are you still with me, Sam?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Jeez.
All right, so. Oh. Right, I think I remember it now.
Right.
Sam, I'm going to
pot
you down for a second, and let's see. I need to turn that thing off. Okay. I'm going to take another quick break. Everybody just stand by while I talk to Sam.
Do not invite car thieves to our community. Do not leave your keys in your car. Lock your car. Lock it or lose it. A message brought to you by Greenwich Matters.
Okay, stand by, everybody. We're working this out. Okay, Sam, I've just sent you an email with the link on it, in it. So when you see the link, I guess you just click on it, and it will connect you automatically to here.
All right.
And if everything else is working okay, we should be back on.
I gotta put my my headset back.
Oh, okay. So everybody, we're listening. This is Greenwich Matters, and we have a technical approach of how we do the show with Sam in a remote location that makes him sound like he's in the studio. And that decided to fail on us. I have a backup version of it, which is what we're trying to use right now. We're trying to implement that. But in the meantime, we have Sam connected on the telephone. Well, that doesn't sound as good. So now I see that you're connected, Sam. So now the trick is, Can you talk to us?
Let's see.
No, I don't hear you. You're not on the microphone yet.
You block clean feed from using your audio device or microphone. Well, how did I block it? Press the microphone icon on the browser section.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, you just disconnected yourself. All right.
I know.
But you're reconnected. All right. I tell you, this is weird. And
okay. I see you.
Right.
It says headphones.
Oh, wait a minute. It's saying you're connected to this other thing by a telephone. Oh, that's interesting.
How about now? No.
No. Are you doing this over your computer or on your phone?
I see you connected. It shows me my headphones.
Yeah, but
my audio is blocked. I don't know.
Do you see next to my name what looks like a little microphone?
The telephone next to your name.
There's a telephone next to my name? Okay, that's not right.
And my headphones, I'm clicking on them and they're not doing anything.
It should be a microphone down there next to your name. Or up there next to your name, wherever your name is listed.
I see the mic.
Something got muted just now.
Click your system settings.
See, the only thing I can adjust is what is my microphone, my settings. So I'm trying to look at it and see what is it you're going to see.
All
right. Well, this is an interesting way for us to spend the last few minutes of the show.
I know.
All right, you just dropped the connection, apparently.
Oh, and I'm back.
And you're back, right. But underneath where your name is, it says muted themselves? What the heck? I'm not even sure why it would say such a thing.
Let me see something here. How about now?
Nope, there's no change.
Wait a minute. What's that? Something. Are you there?
I'm here.
Well, wait a minute. I got you.
You got me. All right.
I got you. Okay, we're connected.
Yeah, but I don't have you.
You don't have me.
Yeah, I don't hear you speaking.
I got you coming through my headset.
Well, that's good. So somehow or another, we have to get the microphone. You know, on your browser, where you would write in the address, is there a place there where a microphone is shown, a little icon of a microphone?
No, it's coming right out. I had the microphone on my computer that was locked out, and I just turned that out. Oh, wait a minute. It is. How about now? No,
I don't see any difference.
And I got the speaker on that's working.
Well, and that's how you're hearing me?
Yeah, I hear you on my headset.
Oh, okay, in the headset. But why isn't the microphone of the headset working with this program? That's...
So you don't hear me then?
Right. I hear you over the telephone, but that's the only way.
Hey, well. Oh, boy.
It's wonderful technology when it works easily. If it starts giving you trouble, it is terrible.
Yeah. I think we'll just finish up the show.
On the phone.
With the phone. Yeah. And then what we can do is you're going to have to send me the link that we had before for the show so I can reload it because I deleted it out and I can't find it in my junk mail now.
Oh, you mean the address that you have to put into the program?
Right. You're at 1490.
I'll tell you that one.
All right.
Yeah, we'll We'll have to do that after the show.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes left here to finish this show. So let's see. What I want to talk about is, and a lot of people are going to get mad at me on this one, Bob.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about the Pope. The Pope is chastising Trump about the mass deportations because we want to deport, you know, the illegal aliens out of our country. And he's taken exception to us, you know, enforcing the laws of the United States. So, I mean, it's nice to be compassionate with other people's lives and money and not your own. I mean, how many illegals does the Pope want to take in into the Vatican? How much money does the Pope want to take out of the vault down there in the basement there, the Vatican Bank, to take care of these migrants? Because the big headline, Pope Francis tells Trump plans of mass deportation of immigrants a disgrace. He's calling that a disgrace because we want to enforce the laws of our land.
How well informed or not is the Pope? Is he
right.
Is he jumping to conclusions here based on what the lefts in our country are saying, or what?
Why don't I just tell him practice what you preach?
It certainly feels we should say that to him. Yes,
he said that walls. He was complaining about when we were building a wall. Walls aren't good. Well, he got big walls all around the Vatican. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a profound statement here. So Pope Francis said that Donald Trump's plans to impose mass deportations of immigrants would be a disgrace. He weighed in on the incoming U.S. president pledges nearly a decade after calling him not Christian for wanting to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexican border. Give me a break. What about that wall? Pope Francis, your wall. Francis made the comments during the appearance on his evening talk show, then followed up on Monday with an official telegram of congratulations to Trump on his inauguration. Francis said that he prayed that the American would live up to his ideals of being the land of opportunity and welcome for all. Yeah, it is, and there's a process. You come to the front door, you knock on it, you ask for entrance. You don't break my windows or knock down my door and come in and steal my services. It's my hope, under the leadership of the American people, will prosper and always strive to build a more just society. He's being all altruistic with us, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'm going to say this. Why don't you just stick to what you know, preaching, to speak the word of God, okay? Let us manage our laws. And maybe I'm going to go to hell for saying this, but I'm upset with them because, you know, they oppose upon us, like, do as I say and not as I do. I don't see them taking in illegals. I don't see them housing illegals. I don't see them giving them money. When you have to live under certain rules, you have to live under them. There's laws in the Vatican that you have to live under and you uphold. There's laws in the United States that we live under and we have to uphold. Simple as that. And it may be blasphemy and I may get chastised for it, but that's the way I feel. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Let me get off of that one. I got a few more minutes left. So I wanted to hit, last week you talked about tariffs. This country was run on tariffs up until 1913, and that's when we invoked the first income tax.
Starting, when did it start being run on tariffs? Was it 100 years before that?
Right up until that point, up until 1913.
Yeah, but when did it start? Right. That's what you're saying.
I guess it, right after the Revolution, because what happened was the British were charging us, taxing us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we broke away, we had to find a way to, run our government. So we start the tariffs when we became a government of unto ourselves. And the people in Britain, in Europe, that wanted to do business with or any other place, they had to pay a tariff on top of, bringing their goods in to our country. So that's when it started.
Yeah.
So then the IRS came into effect, and then they still had tariffs, but they weren't as great because the income tax was offsetting portion of the tariffs that we were charging the Europeans or whoever was dealing with us coming into the country.
Yes.
So the tariffs didn't drive up prices. Tariffs were a way of funding the government. And I think right now we're getting billions of dollars from China in tariffs. And then even when Biden got into office, he didn't remove the tariffs off of China that Trump had put on. That's only one of the executive orders that he didn't challenge because of the billions of dollars that were coming in through those tariffs. And he was squandering that money all over the place.
Oh, so, yeah.
But I feel now we're on the road to recovery. It's like a drug addict who's on a road to recovery, and he has a new outlook on life. And that's the way I think we feel. I think there's a calm, a sense of serenity out there, and people just have to sit back and wait and don't, look for boogeyman in a closet or under your bed. Wait and see what happens. And you'll be pleasantly pleased to see the turnaround of this country. The prices will start dropping down with all the drilling and the laws being enforced, and people aren't being arrested and let out the back door after they get brought in the front door. And crime is going to be going down. So that's our tune, Bobby.
Yes, sir.
So we'll have to stay on after the show here and fix our problem.
Yeah,
so
don't hang up.
You've been listening to Sam Romeo on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
From townhall.com, I'm Keith Peters reporting. Lawmakers in Sacramento have put together a package to help Southern California recover from the wildfires.
The California State Legislature has approved a more than $2.5 billion package to help the Los Angeles area recover from its recent deadly wildfires. The funding will help with the state's emergency disaster response efforts, like evacuations, sheltering survivors, and removing household hazardous waste. It'll also help local governments streamline approvals for rebuilding homes and assist school districts in rebuilding facilities. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom proposed the funding last week. The move expanded the focus of a special session he originally called in November to prepare for legal battles against Republican President Donald Trump. I'm Haya Pinjwani.
President Trump delivered a simple message to global leaders at an economic summit in Davos, Switzerland. White House correspondent Greg Clugston has that story.
The president made a blunt pitch for companies to bring manufacturing to the U.S.
Come make your product in America, and we will give you among the lowest taxes.
And he followed that up with this warning.
If you don't make your product in America, which is your prerogative, then very simply you will have to pay a tariff.
Speaking by video to the annual summit, the president also mentioned Saudi Arabia's willingness to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in the U.S. Greg Clugston, the White House.
The Senate has advanced the nomination of Pete Hegseth as President Trump's defense secretary. Thursday's vote pushed Hegseth toward confirmation despite grave objections from Democrats about his past behaviors. Two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska and Susan Collins of Maine, voted against moving Hegseth's nomination forward. On Wall Street, the Dow by 408 points, more at townhall.com.
Let me talk about Relief Factor and how so many people enjoy a better, more pain-free life because of it. If you're dealing with everyday pain, it makes sense you'd want to try it first. Well, Relief Factor makes that pretty pain-free, too, with their three-week quick start kit for only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or eliminate pain. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF for Relief Factor.
Well, we have a new election, and with that, a lot of new ideas about tax planning, what are taxes going to look like going forward, what do we need to do to position ourselves so that we disinherit the government and not your kids. It means being tax smart with our business, retirement, and income planning. Because if your business, income, and retirement planning is not tax smart, it's probably tax dumb. Let's fix that today. Call me.
Financial solutions you can rely on.
Dean Owen, CPA.
On Friday, Alaska will make a bid for the Golden Spike that marked the completion of the Alaska Railroad. We hear more on the story from correspondent Donna Warder reporting.
A 14-carat solid gold spike that President Warren G. Harding drove into the ground on July 15, 1923, at a ceremony to mark the completion of the Alaska Railroad, is up for auction on Friday at Christie's Auction House in New York City. The spike has never been permanently in Alaska's possession, and now the Anchorage Museum, with financial backing from the Alaska Railroad, will bid on the spike and is valued at up to $50,000. It's always been in private hands, but Aaron Leggett, the museum's senior curator of Alaska history and indigenous cultures, says the history of Anchorage and all of Alaska begins with the Alaska Railroad. I'm Donna Warder.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A pair of lawsuits introduce a bill to end China's preferred, a pair of lawmakers, I should say, introduce a bill to end China's preferred trade status.
The Restoring Trade Fairness Act, legislation to revoke China's permanent normal trade relations status, was introduced Thursday by a pair of bipartisan House lawmakers, building on a GOP effort last year to repeal Beijing's preferential trade status. The bill would solidify efforts by the U.S. across successive presidential administrations to impose more costs on what is criticized as Beijing's unfair trade practices. Michigan Republican John Molinar, chairman of the House Select Committee on Countering the CCP, introduced the legislation in the House alongside New York Democrat Tom Sousey. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
A similar bill was introduced in the Senate by Republicans Tom Cotton of Arkansas and Indiana's Jim Banks. More on these stories available at townhall.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
We'll be mostly clear and frigidly cold for tonight.